Football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, it's not 11 a.m., it's a little later. Had a little trip to the dentist. Don't worry, everything's fine. It was just a planned cleaning procedure, but I am here ready to talk to you about MLS Cup playoffs. But first of all, how you doing, Dwayne?
I'm doing well. A little later in the afternoon, which means when I'm done this, it's a little less time before I get to hightail it into the city to watch more MLS playoffs. It's coming at you awful fast right now.
It is, right? We're barely done talking about the last round of games in the MLS Cup playoffs, and they're starting as well. Also tonight, Ottawa Fury playing Charleston Battery in a play-in game to make the proper playoff, I would say, in the USL Championships. And, of course, we'll focus a lot more today on tonight's game in Major League Soccer, Dwayne.
Yeah, the Fury game, it's kind of like the old NASL days where, I don't know, can you call it a playoffs? We had this whole argument for years, too, when MLS first expanded their playoffs. So it was a big argument we made that you didn't make the playoffs until you won they called them play-in games, or they called them wild card games or whatever. But colloquially, everyone just refers to them in playoffs. So we'll give our friends in Ottawa the benefit of that. They're playing a playoff game tonight against Charleston for the right to get into a full bracket, we'll say. But we wish them luck in that. We'll give more coverage if they advance further in that along. But for now, MLS is our bread and butter, and that's where our focus will be.
Yes, that's where our focus will be today. Major League Soccer, the playoffs continues already tonight. Here's what we have in store for you tonight, Dwayne. Of course, you have the late game tonight, Seattle and Real Salt Lake. But first, NYCFC at City Field versus Toronto FC, number one seed versus number four seed in the Eastern Conference, playing for a trip to the conference finals.
Yeah, this one, if the odds makers have this one, is the closest of the four games. TFC is a 3-1 underdog in this game, so it's still considerable, as they're sort of suggesting that home advantage is a major role. The Citi Field situation, if anyone who's seen the photos are floating around, the setup for Citi Field is very similar to Yankee Stadium. Some people argue that it's a little bit nicer, but
it's a few yards bigger. Like, I don't know how much precisely, but it's a little bit wider and a little bit longer, but more on the wide side. So that's where the big difference we will see tonight is the width. It's a bit bigger. You'll notice that very, very, it's going to be noticeable. I mean, when you look at the 18-yard box versus the sideline, it'll be a bit bigger tonight.
Yeah, I heard 70 meters is the distance I heard wide, which is still pretty narrow. But
yeah, 64 is NYCFC, and what, 90-something is normal pitch? So yeah.
Yeah, give or take, a pitch like Wembley would be 200 by 100. So, it would fit inside that quite easily.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I watched games at York 9 all year, which the pitch was even narrower than it is at NYCFC at Yankee Stadium. But nonetheless, it is an interesting sort of a dynamic, and NYCFC did, I think, figure out how to play on the smaller pitch all year. So this one still remains small, and they're going to be able to sort of focus on that. Will be interesting to see how these two teams line up, and will be interesting to see what TFC's injury situation is. This is the biggest question heading into this. We saw not only did we have Omar Gonzalez, who failed his fitness test just before kickoff on Saturday, did not play in the game there. They're calling him a game time decision. Most people around the club think that he probably will play. Jozy Altidore is the bigger mystery, and I think a lot of people thought that he'd be ready to go for the playoff. The fact that he didn't play in the DC game suggests to many anyway, that perhaps he's not close to ready. Well, he wasn't in the 18 that day, so yeah, he clearly wasn't ready. Is he going to be ready tonight?
I
think he'll be on the bench, but it'll be, at this point in the playoffs, I think you put a guy like Jozy Altidore on the bench, even if he isn't ready to go, you give up that spot just as a decoy.
as a threat? just as a deterrent. That would be the true name for it, the Jozy Altidore deterrent.
Yeah, it's fair strategy too, because they're going to be very cagey. But this is, if he can warm up, he will be on the bench, is what I'll say. Even if he can fake it enough in the warm up, so they're just not sure what to do with him, and they will. I'd be very surprised if he starts the game, because I think if you're trying.
Oh, we just lost Dwayne. Dwayne, are you there?
I think that you're going to need him to win.
Okay, you're back. You're here.
Sorry. Am I back?
Yep, you're back.
Yeah, sorry. I had a call come in while I was trying to talk is what happened there. So what I was saying is that if you're Toronto FC, what you're going to want to do is you're going to try and maximize what Jozy you have, and they will probably start him on the bench, I suspect. And if the game they need a goal late in the game, then yeah, you're gonna throw the old broken horse out there and see what happens. But if they lead that game late, I suspect they will hold off on putting him on as long as possible with the weekend in mind, right? But NYCFC had a decent, they were on 70 plus point pace following the their slow start to the season. So this is no slouch of a team that they're playing tonight, and they're deservedly the favorites.
Yep. And of course, the next round of games will be Tuesday and Thursday next week. So you do have a little bit more time to recuperate heading into the conference finals, if it's Toronto FC, if it's NYCFC. But let's take a deep dive into both teams, tactically speaking. Dwayne, when you look at NYCFC, they're playing at home-ish. It's not home. It's not an environment they're used to. It's close to it, though, and it'll be very unfamiliar environment for Toronto FC. That's an intangible. I cannot quantify it, so I'm not going to necessarily put a lot of stock into it until we see it tonight. What's important is the players on the pitch for me. When you look at NYCFC's roster and the rise of certain players and the way they finished the season, how would you, as Toronto FC, set up tonight? How would you tactically set yourself up to have a success in a one-off game?
Well, again, it depends, not to belabor this point, but it just depends on the health. You would hope that Gonzalez is ready to go. He has been a very significant difference maker in TFC's defensive backline since he came in. They reduced their goals per game against by almost half a goal per game with Gonzalez in the lineup. So that will give you some confidence. Now, this is a narrow pitch, as we said. So are you going to use your wingers? Probably not. You're probably going to see a Delgado take another role out there. Azario, with his brace in the last game, is probably going to roll out and play a significant role as well. If you don't have Jozy, then you're going to have to find a different way to find the goals. And Pozuelo is your natural choice, probably in the false nine role that he played on the weekend as well. I mean, if you look at how Pozuelo set up against DC, I mean, false nines where he would have, well, how you can best define it, but it was almost a rover role where he was just going wherever he could.
Yeah, he was going pretty much wherever he could find space. That would be. Yeah, I figured. So I continued your sentence. But, Pozuelo as a free electron type of a midfielder, it could be danger for NYCFC. Right?
Sorry, say that again. I'm having trouble with someone trying to call me.
All right. So on that note, looking at NYCFC's strength, it will be an interesting aspect, looking at how they will take advantage of the presence of Omar Gonzalez. Omar Gonzalez has been, aerially speaking, the best player TFC has had over the last month and a half. And when he's not playing, you do see a big difference in how Toronto handles balls played into the box. In a, of course, narrow pitch, we're hoping, or at least I'm expecting, to see a lot of balls being whipped into the box from pretty much anywhere. And the presence of Omar Gonzalez, for me, is key. And it's hard to handicap both teams without knowing if Omar Gonzalez will be starting tonight. But again, like you were saying, he was a game-time decision literally last week, and it was a very close call. It all started at the warm-up. I think he will play tonight.
Yeah, he tweaked something in training is what happened, and they made a decision. Gonzalez himself told reporters that he wanted to play and was ready to play, and that he was held out. Now, look, it's so hard to get any sort of handle on what injuries are in a playoff situation, because teams are going to be so cagey about it, right? I mean, you know, Josie, for all we know, could be playing on one leg right now because, hell, he played the entire MLS Cup playoffs in 2017 on one leg, basically. But they're going to never tell us that until after the fact. And Gonzalez is a similar way. But that said, by the sound of it, this was a very much like if you push this, you could be out for 6 months kind of situation. So let's rest it and see if we can get through this game because they felt they had enough to get past DC. But New York provides a completely different challenge for TFC, and they're going to need him for sure. New York doesn't have a superstar. They have a lot of really good players, but they don't really have a superstar and a game-changing player. And that is the one, if you're going to put a handicap on NYCFC's chances to win MLS Cup, and for the record, both Kevin and I picked them to win MLS Cup.
That's true.
That's going to be the question you're going to have. Is this, you know, offense by committee kind of situation enough? Or do you need, you know, your own Zlatan, basically, hopefully without the baggage.
without the negativity. But it's interesting, and there's players that have raised their game throughout the season, right? Mitrica is one example, and we have seen Morales, of course. Like, it's one of the best players in the league. So those two together have really helped NYCFC, but it does not rest on their shoulders. And if you're looking at NYCFC, what is their key to victory versus Toronto FC?
You mentioned Mitrita. Mitrita has been the closest they've had to a game changer. He was kind of a no-name DP when he came in, but he's delivered. He's been very solid this year. I think that they need to play. They play a style that's very, very much relies on their movement off the ball. So they have to have that rhythm and keep the rhythm that they were used to in the last half of the season going. Now, I think psychologically, if you're NYCFC, they haven't had a great playoff history. I mean, we all talk about the Red Bulls and all that. There might be something in the water in New York because in their much shorter, obviously, history, yeah. NYCFC has laid some significant eggs in the playoffs. They have been terrible in a couple of playoff opportunities that they've had. And this is a team that also, you know, not only have they been terrible in playoffs, they've been terrible to the team they're playing in playoffs, right? Like, yeah. This is a bogey team for sure for them. And when they most recently played them this year, it was a 1-1 draw in Yankee Stadium that probably should have been about 4-1 for TFC. If you remember back, TFC missed a penalty in that and hit the post twice. So it was really a one-sided game that they were lucky to get a result out of. So there's a bit of a mental block there. So I think the real key for NYCFC in this is probably surviving the first 20 minutes or so and getting back in a rhythm. When you've been out of, you know, competitive playing game for almost 2 weeks, and you're playing against a team that's coming off a win and is playing on adrenaline a little bit and is going to want to try and get in the front foot and get a goal in there. If you can survive that 15-20, you can sort of get your feeling back and go, okay, this is just another game. But if TFC goes out and smacks them in the mouth early, I mean, yeah, you start chasing that game and TFC's got some weapons, then you could be in trouble for this. We all went to chalk in the first round, and other than LA. And I think you're still going to probably see more of the home teams win than lose. But that said, we're now in 1-4 situations. These are much closer matchups. And if any of these road teams get a punch in the mouth early, then the home team's going to start chasing, and then stuff could get weird.
Well, one thing I'm worrying a little bit, if I look at Toronto's roster, is fatigue. The amount of games they played over the last 18 days, it's pretty much mind-boggling for a few players in this team, from Richie Larea to Jonathan Osorio, of course, Michael Bradley. If you add the international games, the Canada versus USA game, of course, and the USA versus Cuba games for Bradley, and also you add the competitiveness at the end of the season for Toronto FC and the playoff game, it's a lot of games, a lot of minutes for the core group of players of Toronto FC. Any chance fatigue comes into play tonight at Citi Field?
Oh, fatigue is going to be a major question for all of the teams that played on the weekend. And it's one of the reasons why they wanted to give a significant advantage by giving those extra few days off for those home teams. And look, what's really unfortunate is the timing of the season. I hope when they start the season earlier next year, they factor this international break in, so that we don't have teams that are having to buy have to sit out as long as they did, because I think that in some ways might negate the advantage that they'd have, the rest advantage that they would have otherwise. You know, you have one question about staleness versus one question of tiredness. But that said, you know, adrenaline can only take you so far. The international break is significant for TFC in particular, because they had so many of their players involved in a game that had a lot of emotion involved in it. Well, at least it did for one of the teams.
at least on one side. On the Canadian side, there was a lot of emotions. Yeah.
Yeah, draw your own conclusions on Michael Bradley's emotional level in that game. Well, I'm pretty sure he was trying his damnedest within the system that he was set up in.
Yeah.
So yeah, and look, this is the funny thing about TFC's, you know, if I'm going to talk TFC-centric for a second here, when I look at it objectively, I can make an argument that they can beat any team left in this playoff race. What I can't do is make an argument that they can win three consecutive road games in this playoff race.
They can win probably against anyone, but on any given day, any given Tuesday or Thursday, you can lose to another team too, because, well, you never know what can happen in a game, and we'll see. Fatigue might be a factor tonight, having NYCFC rested and Toronto FC exhausted. We'll see that. But tonight, another game as well in Major League Soccer, and that one is Seattle Real Salt Lake at CenturyLink Field. The Seattle Sounders will host Real Salt Lake. This should be a fun one. Looking at the Real Salt Lake game last weekend and looking at Seattle's game and the comeback of Dallas and then Seattle taking the lead and winning at the end, this should be a fun game. If there's one thing I've learned, is Seattle in the playoffs, win or not, it's a fun, fun journey. And that journey at 10 p.m. tonight should be fun.
Look, I have a sneaky feeling that RSL has a real chance here. I watched that Dallas-Seattle game, and if it wasn't for Steph Fry, you know, and that's when I say this, the caveat is they have Steph Fry, and he is a playoff monster.
Yes, he's taller for some reason in the playoffs, and his arms are even longer, but yes.
Yeah, you know, if it wasn't for Fry, then maybe Dallas gets the win in this. And, well, I mean, even without Fry in there, Fry let three goals in, even with him in there. So RSL, who has been playing kind of with a chip on their own shoulder and quietly outside of the spotlight, like, is there any of these eight teams left? This is the one that you would have known the least about, most fans, and would been paying the least amount of attention to, other than the Pecky stuff, which is for the wrong reasons, right? So they're kind of playing loose and free, and they have a couple of players that, well, we don't know Beckham for sure is going to retire, but we do know that the keeper's playing his last game if he loses, and Beckham maybe as well. So it's a veteran team that doesn't have a lot to play for or a lot to lose anymore,
and
that looseness might benefit them then. You know, it's also the game, you know, unlike the previous game we talked about, this one doesn't have a rest advantage for one of the two teams.
Yep.
It has a travel advantage, but it wasn't a long trip.
No, and, it wasn't that bad. RSL to Seattle, it's nothing compared to, I don't know, Vancouver or Montreal or any other similar travel path.
They would have had to connect through Colorado, probably through Denver, I suspect. But yeah, it wouldn't be that tough of a rally, maybe. Wouldn't have been that tough of a trip. I didn't hear anyone complaining on Twitter about the travel, so it couldn't have been any problems.
Good. At least, you know, at least in the playoffs, it's not about charters or not. At least that is resolved. Well, one thing that I think is fascinating, too, when we look at the Seattle versus RSL matchup, you mentioned Nick Raimondo retiring at the end of the season, and you mentioned the tumultuous season that Real Salt Lake did have, changing their manager and technical director and heading into an offseason of transition, too. This team is a wounded animal, and a wounded animal is not worried about what might happen. It doesn't have the pressure of results. It's just trying to survive. But when you're just trying to survive, sometimes you play with a little edge. You play with a little more. And sometimes it's enough, and it makes a difference. So I don't disagree with you. Tonight, we might see Real Salt Lake pulling off an upset. My bracket does not say so. My bracket favored Seattle tonight. But, you know, you never know. Real Salt Lake might have it in them to have a result at the clink.
Well, just as I said with Toronto a second ago, these are all matchups. Like, it was hard to make an argument realistically, other than Bruce Arena Good, that New England was going to beat Atlanta last round.
We still tried.
You know, people try, and you try and convince yourself of that, and it's not as hard as it would be in another league, but it certainly is more difficult than in these particular matchups where you can, in any case, like... I put a bet out this morning where I will win $7,500 if I hit all the upsets.
It's because, not going to happen, but you never know.
For $10 is $10. I mean, I spent $10 on Dumber. So there you go. So I spent $10 on Dumber probably today.
In the last 2 hours, but no, we agree. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it's totally right. It's a valid bet, and you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and look, the point is, you know, any one of those games could easily go the side of the visiting team. I I suspect 3 of 4 will probably go home, to be honest with you. But, you know, sometimes in MLS, the least logical thing is what happens, and this might be the case here. And you could be looking at RSL, you know, in the final against one of the LA teams, which we'll talk about tomorrow in detail, the El Tráfico. And yeah. We have Alicia coming on the show, so we'll talk, you know, we'll have an interview about it. We'll give it the focus that everyone wants to give it. I am starting to almost get my own fatigue on the game, but I do recognize that there's a lot of intrigue to it.
You know, the games have delivered, though. If you look at the hype or surrounding games of Major League Soccer this year, both times we've seen LA and LA Galaxy face off, it was a lot of hype, but it delivered. And I think it's going to deliver tomorrow night, too. But we'll talk about those tomorrow with Alicia Rodriguez of MLSsoccer.com tomorrow at 11 a.m. for sure tomorrow. And Atlanta, Philly tomorrow as well. But tonight, NYCFC, Toronto FC at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And Seattle Sounders, Real Salt Lake, 10 p.m. 7 Pacific tonight.
Exactly.
Now, when we look at tomorrow, just quickly, tonight there's a chance of upset. We both feel like Toronto could upset NYCFC, still favoring NYCFC a little bit for me, a little bit of advantage, but Real Salt Lake as well has a chance. Tomorrow, can Philly have a chance? Do we believe in Philly? I've asked this a lot this season. Do you believe in Philly again?
If Philly was healthy, I would pick them as the favorite to get out of the East right now, but they're not. Bedoya's hurt. Bedoya's playing on one leg. And they got by what is proving to be a poor Red Bulls team this year, barely. You know, they had to overcome 2-2-goal deficits in that game. And look, this is the walking wounded game, Atlanta, Philadelphia. I'll make a hot take right now that the winner of NYCFC Toronto is going to MLS Cup Final.
Ooh.
Because both Atlanta and Philadelphia are their hospital wards walking around. I mean, Toronto's not much better, but no, yeah. We'll see. So basically, this is NYCFC's to lose. But, you know, if Toronto pulls that upset and gets a little bit extra time on Josie's hamstring, then, yeah, I am absolutely going full in on the home team here again. Because that will forget it until they get to the final. Then we'll talk again then. But we'll see. They're lucky they drew each other. Because if either of those teams had drawn either of the other teams in the East, what I'm saying is I think the injury factor would have really rolled up. I tend to lean actually towards Philadelphia in the game, however, because of the defensive problems at Atlanta. And as much as I talk a lot about how defense doesn't win championships in MLS, you have to have one. You can't let the other team walk over you.
You're not going to win an MLS Cup with a defense, but you're not going to win it without one either. There's a certain middle ground in there somewhere.
Yeah, precisely. So that's kind of where I go there. The game's intriguing for that very reason. And look, I have trouble seeing how in a week, because especially in Atlanta's case, with those two injuries to two significant defenders on that team, neither one of them is going to be back by the time they come around. And then the other part of it too, the injuries with LAFC tomorrow, Walker Zimmerman and Mark Anthony Kay. I mean, they were making the argument on extra time that maybe MAK was better suited, or sorry, maybe, you know, MAK struggles against the Galaxy for some reason. Well, perhaps he does, but the whole damn team does.
The LA Galaxy has recognized that Mark Anthony Kay is a key to the way LAFC plays. And if you stop and put two people on key moments on MAK, you're actually going to stop the momentum. You're going to stop the ball from transitioning from midfield to the attack, and they found ways to intercept and find opportunities there for LA Galaxy. But we'll see, the lack of Mark Anthony Kay with Walker Zimmerman together, is it too much to overcome? That's the question that I have to mull over before I make my prediction tomorrow.
Yeah, we have a day. MAK may be okay. They were talking about him as a game time decision as well,
which is surprising considering the injury we both saw with our eyes in Toronto last week, right?
Yeah, which is coming on to 2 weeks. Well, I guess it's one. It seems like 2 years ago now. But yeah, how was it? 8 days ago?
It was last Tuesday, so it's 8 days ago now.
8 days ago now. So yeah, that's a pretty quick recovery. But I guess maybe, you know, they're shutting him down for 3 months after the season anyway. So perhaps that's the way they're looking at that, which a lot of teams look at. If you're the Canadian men's national team, you may not like the fact that they might be pushing his injury a little bit more, because yeah. I have a lot more confidence that he'll be ready for November. But
yeah, like November 15th, we need him in Orlando. What? For tonight, for today, let's finish the show by wetting our feet just a little bit, just twice. NYCFC, Toronto FC. What's your prediction, Dwayne? Your updated daily prediction today. Different if it is than your bracket, but today, what's your prediction for NYCFC Toronto tonight?
I mean, I want to say ask me after 20 minutes into the game. I'm not going to go against what I said before the preview started, the playoffs started. So I did pick NYCFC to win this game. Not much has changed since then. I do think that they're the better team. I don't think they're much better, but I do think they are better than TFC this year. And I, you know, the question that we'll be having after that is what this means for TFC moving forward. But look, I am picking NYCFC, but the caveat to that is if Josie is healthy, that's one caveat. If Toronto gets an early goal, that's the second caveat. This is the closest game in my mind, though. I have a much easier time picking the other three games.
I think NYCFC has at least a run in them with this group, this core group of players, and I think it's going to happen. And tonight, NYCFC is going to be the winner, and that's my prediction that I continue to go with as well. But again, like you, Omar Gonzalez, if he plays, if Josie is healthy, you never know. Seattle RSL, your prediction.
Well, I kind of hinted at it, and this is a hunch more than it is anything based on logic. I just don't totally believe right now that Seattle is firing in all cylinders. I mean, you know, Jordan Moore's hat trick and all that, but they're playing Dallas, which I think was the weakest team in the playoffs, and they still allowed three goals. And if it wasn't for a good keeping performance, they would have been eliminated. So I'm going to go RSL with the upset here. I think this is the upset out of the three, which is, you know, hinting at what my predictions tomorrow are going to be. Yeah. But we'll see if I change my mind in 24 hours.
Exactly. You got 24 hours. Jordan Morris, the 2019 Major League Soccer Comeback Player of the Year as well. Bob Bradley is Coach of the Year. Those are the most recent announcement made by Major League Soccer for the awards for the regular season. So that's interesting. Bob Bradley, LAFC's manager. We kind of figured he was going to get Coach of the Year when you have the best season in history. And that was a bit predictable. But Jordan Morris, congratulations, and a must comeback player of the year. He did have a big injury, and oftentimes coming back from injury will get you the votes for comeback player of the year.
Yeah, that's how you get I don't like to talk about awards a lot because they kind of bore me a little bit. But I think it is interesting that in MLS's case, this is the only league that I follow closely that they tend to do this with. The coach of the year just tends to be the coach of the best team, whereas most leagues, they get cute. It's like what team came back the most, like the NHL.
In the NHL,
to be in the coach of the best team in the NHL, you have no chance of winning the Jack Adams. It's called the Jack Adams.
Yeah.
You got to be a team that didn't make the playoffs the year before that made the playoffs that year and didn't expect to. Like if the, I don't know, the
Montreal,
Florida Panthers or something. Yeah,
it's true, and yeah, that's the big difference. But again, it's just interesting. We'll have more of those in the coming days when they continue to announce.
Well,
and
the MVP is not much of a debate this year. We all know that.
Carlos Vela. Like, if it's not Carlos Vela, like, come on. If it's not Vela, who is it? Then you start to get cute, and then it gets complicated. But again, I want to thank Dwayne for his patience today while I was at the dentist. And Dwayne actually recorded an interview that you'll find on the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast later with Steve Milton, journalist from the Hamilton Spectator, talking about the Canadian Premier League final. We'll have a few bonus material for the Canadian Premier League final that will take place this weekend and the weekend after. Make sure you become a Patreon at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. A lot of great things are coming to our Patreon over the next month, but you can start right away by becoming a $2 tier member. You'll have the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast as a bonus. Well, that's why it's called the Two Solitudes tier, you'll say, but yes. And you'll get, according to Dwayne, a great interview with Steve Milton and more in the next few days on our premium feed for our premium podcast. On that note, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, with Alicia Rodriguez to talk about El Tráfico and the playoffs in Major League Soccer. And until then, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.